What? Double this week. Two parashas this week. Double.
Then you can do Vayelech. What's your
problem? Nah, let's go in order. I like Seder. Pasuk Yudbeis. Leman. Pasuk says, Leman Hakim Oischa Hayom Lo La'am. Hashem will establish you today as a nation. V'hu Yihyeh Lecha Le'elokim. Hashem will be to you as a God. Kasher Diber Loch. Like he spoke. V'chasher Nishpa La'vasecha. Le'avraham Le'yitzchak U'le'yakov. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis, Leman, a very long Rashi, the Lako one of them is Rashi, Leman, Hakim Oischoloi La'am, Kol Kach Hu Nichnas L'Troyach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nichnas, to trouble himself, Leman, Kayim Oischoloi Fanov La'am. Okay, so what is this mean of you? What's Rashi coming here to say? He's Nichnas L'Troyach. Hashem is troubling himself, he's entering into a state of Tircha. I don't really know what this means. I'm just reading the words. Okay, we'll have to figure this out as we go along. Hashem is nichnas l'treyach in order to establish you before him as a nation. Next, v'hu yilcha l'lukim, he'll be as to you as God, l'fi shadav, shadibu l'cha v'nishva l'vasecha, being that Hashem spoke to you, and Hashem swore to your forefathers, shlo l'ach l'fes sarah b'u ma'cheres, Hashem will never exchange klal yishlo for another nation, l'kachu oyser eschem b'shvua salamu. Shaloi takni tuhu, that you shall not anger Hashem. Rashi over here is saying over here a very, very interesting idea, that the reason that is that being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised to keep his part of the deal, that he will not exchange us for another nation, we must reciprocate. And we should not exchange Hashem for an idol. Acha shehu ein yochel libadol mikem. We shall not, and therefore we must take an oath that we will not exchange Hashem for an avodah zarah, because Hashem is not able to separate from you. Ad kan perashti lefi pshuta shel parsha. Okay, so this is the simple interpretation of the parsha. I'm going to read this Rashi again. One more time, these words. V'hu yelcho lelukim, lefi shediber lecho. Hashem spoke to you. V'nishba la'vasecha shalach lefes zal'am be'u macheres. Hashem spoke to you, and Hashem promised, swore to your forefathers, that it will not exchange us for another nation, so Hashem cannot depart from us. Therefore, we have a duty to reciprocate and not exchange Hashem for another nation, for another God. Therefore, we also must accept upon ourselves a shavua that we will not do so. L'kachu oyser eschem b'shavuas halalu. Hashem is prohibiting us from worshipping idols with these oaths. Shlo takni tuhu. We should not anger Hashem. Achar shehu ein yochol libadol mikem. After the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot separate himself from us, Hashem is stuck with us, and therefore we should not get him angry. Ad kan perashti l'fi pshutoshon d'harsha. Okay, we're going to have to come back to that as we analyze the Targum. Then we go further in the Rashi. He has a long medrash. Umedrash agada. Lama nismecha parshas atem nitzavim l'klalos. Why is this parsha? Now this really goes back to the previous. This goes back to the pasuk, the beginning of the parsha, pasuk tes yud aleph, everything. Medrash agada. Lama nismecha parshas atem nitzavim l'klalos. L'fi shashamu yisrael me'klalos. Chosar shtayim. We really discussed this yesterday. This really is what we try to learn pshat in the Targum. After Klal Yisrael listened to 98 curses, Chutz Mimem Tes Shebetarascha, besides the 49 Tarascha Hanim in Bechukosai, Hoiriku Pineyem, the faces of Klal Yisrael turned green. The Amru, and they said to Moshe, Mi Yuchal Lamoid Be'elu, how will we survive? 137, 147 curses. Okay, 147 curses. How are we going to able to survive? Hiskil Moshe Lefaisa. Moshe began to appease them. He told them, Atem nitzavim hayom harbe hichastem lamokim v'lo osa itchem kaloya. V'hare atem kayomim lefonof. Now look at the Targum Unkelis. Pasuk Tes. This we discussed yesterday. This we discussed yesterday at great length. It says, Atun Koimin. Okay, Koimin. The word Koimin means you're still around. Rashi, when we learn, when we start, we learn some review from yesterday when it says Atem Nitzavim Lamed Shekinsa Moshe Lefnech Lashbaruch Hu Biyam Moshe Lach Nisan Bibris. So yesterday we suggested that there was machlokes between Rashi and Unkelus. Rashi, the used words Koymin, is referring to the past. And basically Rashi and Unkelus in one word has said everything that Rashi just said. That after Klal Yisrael listened to all of the curses, they said, how in the world are we be able to survive? So Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, look, you're still around. So the word Nitzavim is a word that reflects upon the past. Look, you've angered Hashem so many times, and yet here you are today. You survived. You're doing very well. You're very successful. So don't worry so much. So the word Nitzavim is a word that refers to the past. You're survivors. According to Rashi's first pshat, it's nothing to do about the past. It's about the future. You right now, you're going to be nichnas into a covenant for the future. So the word Nitzav means to fortify yourself going forward. Now Rashi, in the second interpretation, is basically saying the same exact thing as what it says in the Unkelus. And he's basically saying there's another way to translate the word Nitzavim. Nitzavim refers to the past. Okay, Hayoim. Next words, Hayoim. Kayoim azeh shukayim v'hu mapil b'meir. Now we learned Rashi in this first pshat, the word Hayoim means it's the day of my death. I'm going to die. Today I'm dying. According to the second interpretation, Hayoim is not a reference to, it's not a personal word referring to Moshe's day of dying, but rather it means it's a mashal, it's a metaphor. Just like the Yoim, the day, the day, time exists forever, and the Yoim, it gets dark and gets light. Hashem in the future will bring light. They are mekaymin eschem. They give you fortitude. Umatzivin eschem lefanov, and they establish you before Him. The af haparsha shalomalam mizu piusin heim. The parsha that is before this, which mentions. That's what he says. It's a pius. Atem isim eskol asher diber. That's going to be later. But we're going to come to later. No. I'm sorry. That refers to the end of Parshas Kisavoy. At the end of Parshas Kisavoy, right after the Toichecha, we have Shavi. The Toichecha is the sixth aliyah. But after the Shishi, there is the seventh aliyah. There are a few psukim where Hashem says, look, in the desert, you survived for 40 years. Your clothing did not wear out. Your shoes did not wear out. And you did not have bread. You did not have what to drink. And yet you survived. You did quite well in these last number of years. You did very, very well. And that, according to Rashi, is the same exact idea. It's a pius. That just like that, after you've listened to the 98 curses, do not be frightened. Just because you're subject to all of the klalos, look, you survived. You'll survive in the future. So the word, and what's the word of the hayoyim? Because when the word the yoyim Rashi seems to be saying is yoyim is the cycle of the day is it's first dark, and then there is light. So even though now you've experienced the darkness of hearing the klolos, but in the future you're going to hear, it's going to get light, and there's going to be blessing. And the purpose of the klolos is in order, it's he writes here very powerful words, ha-klolos v'ha-yesurin mekaymin eschem u'matzivin eschem lefanov. It preserves you, and it establishes you before Hashem. That's a very big nechama for us going into the next year. Because this year, many people will tell you they suffered very, very much. And Rashi is telling us that the suffering Nobody would ever in their wildest dreams want to suffer, but after it already happened, then it becomes, in hindsight, a very big advantage, because the suffering, it changes your frame of mind and puts you in a different position in, with your relationship of Hashem, and it brings blessing. So therefore, this year is certainly going to be a year of very great blessing. Now, the af ha'parashol ma'azim b'yusim him v'atim b'yusim iskol asher osa davar acher. Now we come to the third pshat in Rashi, davar acher. Atem nitzavim l'fichach yishol yotzim miparnis l'parnis mimoshe l'yoshua l'fichach osa isam matzeva kedei l'zarzam. He had them stand in order to warn them. V'chein osa yohishua v'chein shmuel hisyatzvu v'ishofta eschem, stand and I will judge you. When Shmuel departed from Klal Yisrael and appointed a melech, he also had them, he used the same exact word. So Rashi in his third interpretation says the word nitzavim is a word that we specifically use during a time of transition. So sach hakol, what do we take out of Rashi? What do we take out of the woman's pirushim? There are three different possibilities for the significance of the word nitzavim. Either the word nitzavim reflects in the past, even though you've been bad, you've been evil, you have not behaved yourself. Worry not. Look, you still look. Look at the fact you survived. Or it refers to the future of going, making a covenant with you going forward, a bris going forward. Or it refers to transition. And transition is both the past and the future. So it's really very fascinating what Rashi here is doing. He's taking this one word. The word is weird. It's not a nice thing to say, but the word is not the correct word. You would expect the pasuk to say atem oimidim. Because in all of the English translations of the word atem nitzavim, the translation is you are standing today. So if the word, we like to translate the word nitzavim as standing, then let the pasuk say atem oimidim. Why did the pasuk select the word atem nitzavim? And Rashi has basically given us three interpretations. Nitzavim refers to the past. Don't worry about the klolos. Look, you survived. Look at the past. You misbehaved. And look, you're still here. Or nitzavim refers to the future. We're going now into Eretz Yisrael. You're going into the Holy Land. I want you to concentrate and prepare yourself for what you're about to encounter and get ready. Future. Or the word nitzavim is a unique word which reflects transition, past and future. Moshe used the word here when he's we're switching between Moshe and Yehoshua. And when Yehoshua left, he left this world, he also, I guess, the Shoftim between him, he also used the same word. And when Shmuel, who anointed Shaul, also used the same word when they left his leadership to be under the authority of the new king of Shaul. So it's transition. Past, future, and transition. Hashem Moloch. Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimlech, Hashem Melech. We do that sometimes. Sometimes when we say Hashem in the past, the future, and the present. Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimlech, and Hashem is Melech. That's not the way we do it all the time, the different orders. But here we have three different Mahalchim. All right, now with that in mind, let's take a look at the Targum. The Targum Pasuk Yudbeis. Bedil means so that, Lekayomo Yosach. To establish you, now the word here is in the Rashi, it says Hakim Oischa. Hakim means to establish Yom Adin them this day. Kada Mahi before Hashem, La'am to a nation, who Yehavei Loch Leloka, He'll be your God. Kima Demale Loch, like Hashem has spoken to you. Chma Dekayim. Now here he takes the word of Nishba. The Targum says Dekayim Hashem has made an oath. La'av Hasach, La'avraham, Li'Yitzak, Li'Yakov. All right, we'll leave with that. He says over here, the Shavua, he translates a Shavua with the word Likayama. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Let's go to Pasuk Gimel. Now the Pasuk goes on to say, it's not with you alone. Anochi kores es habris hazos v'esvalo hazes. You're not the only ones with whom I'm going to establish this covenant and the Allah. Now remember, yesterday we had a discussion. What does the word Allah mean? Does Allah, is it a modifier of the bris, or is it a separate? Is it a separate entity? We had a dilemma: is an Allah a curse, and built into the covenant are the consequences of violating the covenant, and that's called a curse? Or we suggest the word Allah is a shavua, an oath. And the Pasuk is mentioning two entirely different concepts. There is a covenant and there is a shavua. It does not mean a curse. It means a shavua. And they're completely two separate things. And we began to discuss in the Sacht and the Darim, there's always a discussion of what is the difference between a neder and a shavua. But the truth is, there are really three different principles. There is a bris, there is a neder, and a shvua. Well, it's very interesting to understand, to define the nature, the difference between the three. The person forges a bris with another person. What are the halachic consequences of a bris? We know that when it comes to a shvua and a neder, you can be mater neder, and you can be shoyel on a shvua. What about a bris? Is there a way out of a bris? Is there such a technique where a person can get out of a covenant? Does there exist such a thing? I don't know. You don't really hear about this. Not that I know. I don't know anything. But we have to really go back to Masechta Nedarim, Masechta Shavuos, and it's got to be there somewhere. This a discussion of what exactly, because there's a lot of discussion about the difference between a vow and an oath, and they're very different. The big many nafkaminas in the mechanics of how they work and how they can be undone, when they can be undone, how they can be undone. But what about a bris? Is there such a thing of a human being forging a bris? We do know that Avraham made a bris with Avimelech. So we do see that a bris is not only between man and God. Hashem made a bris Avraham, the bris bein habisarim, v'chorois imo habris. The bris mila, to some degree, is also called the bris. Shuya, make a bris. Why is a bris mila called the bris? Okay, there's something to it. This is called the bris. It's not called a shvua. Interesting, but so what's all that? I don't know. But it becomes very relevant here in this pasuk, and the pasuk we learned yesterday, because here it says both. How do you translate that word? We learned this from yesterday. Either the word Allah means a curse, or it means a oath. Which one is it? L'may nafkamina. If Allah means a curse, it would appear that the curse is a portion of the covenant, the consequences of violating the covenant. But if the word Allah means a shavua, it would appear that there are two separate events that are taking place here, a covenant and a shavua. Let's go further. Pasuk Yidal, we'll do the targum of these two sukkim together. Let's do Pasuk Yidal. Ki es asher yeshna. So you're not the only ones. But rather, ki es asher yeshnoi po imanu omir hayom. Now, these are very hard words to translate literally. Ki, but. How do you translate the word ki? Ki, I guess it means but. Es asher yeshno, those that are present. Yeshno means yesh. Lahanchil laohavai yesh. Yesh is one of the best words in Chumash. Yesh means substance. It means a davar sheyesh boy mamash. It's a really great word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to bequeath to all of his beloved lahanchil laohavai yesh. What does that mean? Simple pshat. I know the drasha, you'll tell me Hashem is going to give every tzaddik 310 worlds. Shin is 300, Yud is 10. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't even know what one world means. So that's a very mystical tzitzit Mishnah. The Mishnah says, I don't know what that means, but on a very simple level, Hashem is going to give a tzaddik yesh, something of substance. All of the pleasures that we have in this world are not called yesh. A person has a delicious meal. Is that called yesh? Can you say that when you're eating the food and swallowing the food, you really feel you have something? A person wins the lottery and he has a beautiful house. Can you really say, ah, I'm satisfied, I have yesh? I don't know, you have to ask me. Maybe they do feel, I don't know. But it doesn't seem that in the big picture of things, that's called real. What is called real? A spiritual accomplishment. Yesh. And yesh is 310. It's not a coincidence. I always tell you this, is that the Eretz Yisrael had 31 kings. And 31 is the mispar, is the miniature of 310. There were 31 kings of Canaan that were wiped out by Yehoshua, because Eretz Yisrael is the land of Yesh. And that's why the ancient people divided it into 31 sections. Because 31 is 300, and 310 is just a small, is just an expansion of the number 31. Okay, fine, let's go further. So therefore, Yeshnoi, those that are Yesh, that are really here today, Po here, Imanu, Oymed HaYaluf, Nashon Lokein. And I hear something that is very mystical. It's not often you have in Chumash concepts that are, on a very simple reading of the word, are abstract. The Torah is extremely down to earth. There's no explicit mention in the Torah of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Torah alludes to it. There are a few psukim in the Torah. Mikan l'tchiyas ha-meisim. Mikan l'tchiyas ha-meisim min ha-Torah. So tchiyas ha-meisim. Tchiyas ha-meisim. It's not explicit. It's a remes. Here, you're dealing here with, because the Torah does not talk in abstractions. The abstractions come from Chazal. Chazal, it's a Torah Shalal Peh. And here it says, V'eis asher einenu po imanu hayom. This baris and the shavua is taking effect on all of the creatures that are not here with imanu, with you today. Now, what exactly does that mean? Look over here in Pasuk Yudalid, the Eis Asher Einenu Po, V'af Im Doros Ha'asidim L'Yos. Rashi says it means the generations that are yet to come, the Doros Ha'asidim L'Yos, that will be in the future. Now let's take a look at the Targum of Tupsukum Targum, V'lo Imchoin, Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Targum Unkelus, V'lo Imchoin Bilchoy Dechoin Ano Gozar. It's not with you, I'm being gozar. Now here we have over here something very strange. The Targum is switching from the word kayomo to the word gozar. When we had the word bris before, let's go back to, we had the word bris, pasuk yud aleph. If we look in pasuk yud aleph in the Targum Unkelus, it says, where it says la'ovrcha, that you shall pass, not to cause you to pass, bivris. The uncle says, la le a olusach bik yomo. There he translates the word abris as a kiyum. Here he translates the word, do I forge the bris? And here he translates it, bilchoidoin. I made a mistake. He translates what bris as kiyom, what I meant was word gozar. Okay, the word koyres, do we have the word koyres before? Yeah, Pasuk Yud Aleph, we had the word. Yeah, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He uses consistent, I'm sorry. The word gozar is the translation of the word koires. That's a very scary word, because the word gozar has a connotation of negative. Baruch gozer umekayim. We say that in Baruch Sha'amar. Gozer doesn't sit well. Do gezeras oiraisa. Zois chukas ha-Torah. And on that when the Talmud was burnt in the year 14, what year was it? In the year 1242. In the year 1242, the Sreifas HaTalmud, the Church of Notre Dame, the Maram Mirabberg, Sha'ali Srufa Ba'esh, they were Shol B'chaloyim, they asked the question from Hashem in a dream, what is this all about? And the response was, Zois Chukas HaTorah Do Gezeras Oiraisa. Now, I don't know what that means exactly, but it doesn't sound good to me. Gezeras means this is a harsh decree. So the word there by Zois Chukas HaTorah, Chukas is a gzera, and they have the same word for koires, which we like to use as to forge, which means to establish. I guess it's related to the word koires. Koires means to be cut off. And when a person makes a bris, you take an object and you split it into two and you pass between the two sides. And that's the technique. But the word is a word which has a connotation, and I think it fits very well with the word Allah. If you word the Allah means a curse, that's really what a bris is. A bris is, we had this discussion, is the word Allah a shavua, or is the word Allah a curse? And if it's a curse, that means that in every single covenant, there are severe consequences. If you don't fulfill your end of the bargain, there's a curse. And a curse is a gzera. So it would make sense why we use the word koires, which comes from the word koires. Koires va'ariri, to be cut off. It doesn't just mean to split something into two parts and to walk in between the two parts. It means if you don't keep your part of the deal, you're going to be cut off. There are serious consequences, and then it makes sense why we have in this expression the word goza. So let's see over here what it says. V'lo imchon b'l'choydeichon ano gozar. It's not with you alone that ano gozar yos kiyomo hadein v'yos mo so hadein. It's not with you alone that I establish this bris and this moimasa. The moimasa, so what is the moimasa? So he's being consistent. The word moimasa means a shavua. Targum is l'shitasai. The Targum before said the word moimasa, this word moimasa means a shavua. Pasuk yidal in the Targum. Are yos man de isoi hocha. Those that are present. Imano means with you. Koeim yomo do dein, kodam Hashem lo kano, v'yosman de loy soyi hocha, imano yomo dein. Those that are not here with you today. Okay, so he's not really eating much that I want to focus on. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk tes vav. Pasuk tes vav, ki atem yidatem, you know. Eis asher yosham b'yeretz mitzrayim, v'eis asher varnu b'kerv agoyim asher vartem. You know very good and well. You know very good and well what it was like to live in the land of Egypt, and you know what it was like to pass through the nations of the world in the desert for 40 years. Let's read another pasuk Tezayin, Vatiru es shikutzehem, you observe their detestable items, the eskilulehem, and now we elaborate, eitz vo'evem kesef v'zachav asher imohem, wood, stone, silver, gold that was with them. Rashi, Tezon Tezayin, Ki Atem Yidatem Vatire Shikutzehem, Lufi Shem Isem Hu Umois Oivde Elilim, being that you've seen the Umois who worship idols, the Shema He silev echad mikem oisoy loleches acharehem. Rashi here is very delicate words, very beautiful words. Rashi here is adding something that it doesn't say in the pasuk. Pasuk says ki atem b'lashon rabin. All of you know what it's like to live in Egypt. Now, first of all, that's not really true, because I take that back, because everyone already died. Anyone between the age of 20, anyone between the age of 20 and 60 is dead. Most of the people. Because that was the gzer. So who is now standing at the entrance of Eretz Yisrael? All of the people, either who were born in the desert, or if you were still alive in Egypt, it means you were under 20 years old. You were teenagers, or you were little kids. So you got to think back 40 years, you were little kids, because if you're over the age of, anyone that was over the age of 20, which now make you 60, you're gone. Because that was the gzer. Now it's not totally true, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did indeed forgive the last 15,000 people that were meant to die. They were forgiven and they did not die. And likewise, Shevet Levi did not die. So it's not everyone, and the women did not die. Okay, the women did not die. I'm not sure about that. Is that true? I think it's true. The women did not die. Okay, only the men. Not so simple. Any event, it says here in the pasuk, ki atem yidatem, what it's like living in Mitzrayim, and you also experienced, you saw the nations when you passed through them in the desert.
Rashi. Why did women die natural death?
So some of them did. Well, first of all, some of them did, but some of them maybe did. But let's talk about the ones.
Men did not die natural death. They only died on.
Anyone over the age of 20, there were 600,000 men above the age of 20. And all of those men, with the exception of about 15,000, died.
Right, but they didn't die in the middle of the year. They died only on Tisha B'av.
Fine. So, but now Moshe is speaking to them on Moshe Rabbeinu's last day of his life. So all those people are gone. Who is he talking to? Moshe is saying, "Ki atem yidatem." All of you know what it's like to live in Egypt. Excuse me. Right now, what's the population when they're coming into Eretz? I don't know what the population is, but the vast majority of people who are coming into Eretz Yisrael now, I assume, were not alive. Well, were very, very young. Either they were not alive.
What was the age? From 20 to 60?
Anyone that was over the age of 20 at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim died during these 40 years.
Doesn't matter how old he was?
Doesn't matter how old he was.
We know, so we know, what's the name?
Not everyone, but there were 15,000 people that were forgiven. And
Sarah didn't die. Goliath didn't die. There were people, you know, who didn't die.
There were exceptions, but the vast majority died. Moshe
Levi didn't die, Shevet Levi didn't die.
Right. And there were 50,000. Okay, you're right. I'm saying not everyone, but he's saying over here an expression, ki atem yidatem, eis asher yisham lebi eretz Mitzrayim. He's speaking to the nation. And you know what it's like. If you make a calculation, you'll be very surprised that the number of people that he's referring to is a very small amount relative to the population at this moment in time. And the people that he's speaking to don't really remember very much. Because they were very young, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they you remember everything that happened to you before you were 20. From the time you were probably 7 years old, you remember every little detail. Some people remember those things much better, a much better memory then, much stronger mind then. All right, let's do that aside. And you know what it's like when you pass through the Goyim and the nations. Now Rashi here says things over here that require clarification. Rashi says, "Lefisha reisem ha'umas adel yisodim the Goyim." Now look at these beautiful words. V'shema. Rashi here is talking to the heart. The Shema maybe, he see leiv echad mikem. Also, maybe the heart of one of you has persuaded you, has seduced you, has influenced you, loleches achareihem. So Rashi is breaking up every single person into two parts. You have a mind and you have a heart. And the main part of the person is his mind. And the heart is considered to be an outsider. Maybe here there's a heart of one of the people here and I'm speaking to, that heart has persuaded the mind of one of you, of its owner, to follow, imitate, the behavior, the actions of the goyim that you've seen when you left Egypt. And also, he writes about Echod Mikem, one of you. Why one? Moshe is speaking B'loshon Rabin. Maybe if one guy does an Aver, it's not so bad. It's only when a group begins to worship idols is it considered to be tragic. Okay, next Rashi. Let's go further, let's see. Batir es shikut, and you saw their abominations. Al shem shahim me'usim kishkotzim. Rashi is defined, why is it called the shekets? Why is Avodah Zarah wood, stone, gold, silver? Why are we calling this a shek, a sheretz? Shikut sehem. Why is it called shikut? So Rashi says it's disgusting kishkotzim. Like rodents. A shekets is something disgusting. Kishakotsim. Okay, is the word shakotsim related to the word rodent, a sheretz? Not necessarily. Okay, kishakotsim. Let us leave it now. Something that's disgusting. Giluyam. Shemusrachim umusim kigolol. The word giluyam is a borrowed term which means golol. Animal waste is something that is foul, and the pasuk is comparing an idol to golol. And then it says Eitzu Evin, and Rashi explains Osan Shal Eitzim Mishalavim. It's a very important Rashi says that when it says Eitzu Evin Kesev Vizav, there's nothing inherently wrong with wood, there's nothing wrong with stone, there's nothing wrong with silver and gold, but rather the way the pasuk must be understood is that the idols were made from these materials. Oysan shall eatsim, those idols made from wood, v'shalavonim, v'isim bigolui, those you saw in public. L'fi she'ein ho'ide elilim yireyim shema yigon, but they're not afraid they're going to be stolen. Avol shall kesef v'zahav, the idols made from gold and silver, imohem. Rashi is explaining why it says the word imohem by the end of the pasuk, asher imohem. It's only going on gold and silver. Bechedrei mish maskisam, in their chambers that had ceilings. The word maskisam, it means it's not just walls, there's a ceiling. Lefi shehem yireyim shema yigan, they may be stolen. Which is a joke, which in and of itself is a leitzanis. How come the idols can't save themselves? If the idols can't save themselves from being stolen, how do you think the idols are going to save you from the enemy stealing of you, all of your items? Personally goes out on vacation. So what does he do? He locks the door. And he says, before I lock the door, I want to go pray to the idol. Idol, do me a favor, stand guard and make sure no one comes and steals my possessions when I go to Florida. I'm going on vacation. I have here in the house $1 million in cash. Please, idol, I bow down before you, I pray to you, please make sure that a ganav does not come into my house when I go away for 2 weeks and steal the suitcases of cash stuffed in the mattresses. Please be careful. And so it's a joke, because if you really believe that the idol can save your home from being robbed, so why don't you take your idol and put it outside in the front yard? Why are you hiding the idol in a safe in your home? Take the idol, bring it out to the front yard and keep it there. No, I don't want to do that, because someone may come and steal it. My idol cost me, I know how much I paid for the idol, I paid $1,000. It's gold, silver, $1,000. So it's honest. If the idol can't save itself from being stolen, how do you expect the idol to save your possessions from being stolen? It's all part of the litzonis over here of this pasuk, asher imohem. It's eitzel evin, period. It's kesev of asher imohem. Okay, now let's see the Targum. Targum pasuk tezvav. Arei atun yidatun. You know, well, yos, desevno ba'aro dimitzrayim. You know what it was like to live. Desevno means to live in the land of Egypt. The yos de'avarna b'bene amemaya de'avartun. And you know what it's like to pass among the nations. When you travel in the desert, Pasuk Tezayin, Vachazesoin, and you have seen Yos Shikut Sehoin, the Yos To'avosoin, their abominations, and their mistakes. So he doesn't get into it. Rashi said the word Gilulehem is Miloshan Golol. It's disgusting. It's like human waste. Targum does not say that. Targum translates the word Gilulehem as a mistaken error. A Golol, Golol, why would the word Golol, where does the word Golol referred to, come to the word mystic? I don't know. It's a, but he says it's a tavosa, means an error. It was an error that a human being should put power into this object. The avno kaspa, he saw stones. The avno, stones, kaspa, silver. The dehava, the imhoin, that was the imhoin. That was with them. Alright, so okay, that's what he says over here. Okay, alright, we're out of time over here. We're out of time over here. The next pasuk really is a very powerful pasuk. I'll just read it now. I'm not gonna read this just to get ready for tomorrow. Pasuk Yitzayin, Pen Yesh Bochem. I just want to point out, look at the word Yesh. I want to just point out that there is something going on here in the pasuk with the word Yesh. Because in the previous two pasuk, in pasuk Yudgimel and Yudalit, it says in pasuk Yudalit, it's not only the people that are here, ki im asher yesh noi po imanu hayayim. It's the esa asher einenu. It's going to be those that are not. And now again, the pasuk is coming back and repeating the word yesh. It only said the word yesh, ki es asher yesh noi po imanu hayayim, the esa asher einenu, and now pen yesh bochem. Again, we're going to use that word. Ish o yisho o yimishpacha o yishevet asher levoi fana hayo mi'im Hashem lakenu olachas lavoi es Elohei hagoyim ha'im. And then again, pen yesh bochem shoyresh, a root, poire, that is blossoming with rosh. Rosh is bitterness. It's an herb that's bitter. Vela'ano, it's another herb that's bitter. So the word yesh here is being used multiple times, and the targum is a targum going to be consistent. In pasuk yudalit, he said, "Areyos man de is nohi de is the is so he." And here, when it says the word yesh in pasuk yudzayin, we didn't do this yet. Dilma is. Bechoin. There is. Same word. So far, so good. Pasuk Yud Zayin Dilma Is. Is is exactly what it said in Pasuk Yud Dalet. Yotman de I soihi. And then, when it goes further, and it says, at the end of the Pasuk, Pen Yesh Bochem Shoresh. At the end of Pasuk Yudalit, it says, Dilma is b'chon. Again, it's consistent. A gevar meharher chatin oizodon. Okay, let's leave for tomorrow. Okay, I really didn't do all that much. Unfortunately, I really didn't go too send me to Chidushim today. I have to prepare better next time. All right, thank you for joining me. Have a wonderful night. Be well. Mir Hashem, tomorrow to be continued.
Yes. Good night.
Good night.